Chapter 17. For the first time in over a decade, Thomas leaves the trees of the northern mountains and steps into the great valley that separates the southern mountains from the north. Even in the dead of night, the moon lights up the entire Middle Valley region. From Thomas's elevated perspective, the Middle Valley stretches for miles and miles in every direction, with the most spectacular view of a massive lake that takes up half of the visible area. Standing next to Troy at the viewpoint, Thomas looks to the top of his mentor's head and stands up straight. Troy notices this and asks, "Have you grown more in the half a year that you've been 17?" Thomas stands on his tiptoes a bit, making himself as tall as Troy, and replies with a smirk, "I've yet to stop." One last breath and glance around the enormous valley, and they begin walking west. There is no sign of anyone around, other than the boats that are on the lake and rivers. Nonetheless, they move in silence through the remaining trees, and the tall grass as it sways in the late spring wind. Thomas loves the feel of the warm air rush over him from dropping so far in elevation, and out of the cold of the North Mountain. Not wanting to sweat, he takes off his outermost layer, and stuffs the shirt into his pack. Troy does the same, also not being acclimated to the warmer temperature. Having waited until so late in the night to descend from the mountain, to not be detected, Thomas is tired and lets out a big yawn. "This tree will do great for the night," Troy declares, jumping up and grabbing a limb. Pulling himself up to the next highest limb, Troy disappears into the tree. Thomas jumps up with ease and grabs the same limb that Troy grabbed, effortlessly pulling himself up, and disappears into the tree as well. After climbing about halfway up the 50-foot-high tree, Troy ties himself to the trunk while sitting on a bed of blankets from his bag. Thomas ties himself to a nearby limb and the trunk of the tree as well, after making a more comfortable surface for himself with blankets. "About a day's journey remains before we reach the villages of Hand across the river," Troy declares to Thomas while placing a blanket around himself. "Aye, can't wait," Thomas replies. "The time has finally come," he thinks to himself, overjoyed with excitement to see new places and people. Exhausted and not nearly as excited to be off of the mountain as Thomas is, Troy quickly begins snoring, appearing to be fast asleep. Still too energized to sleep, Thomas pauses a moment and begins humming the sacred sound frequency of the cave that he was shown 4.5 years earlier. Instantly feeling calm and relaxed, he continues humming the healing tone. Shortly after, Thomas stops humming and falls to sleep. The next morning, Thomas wakes up and sees Troy still sleeping. Untying himself from the tree, he quickly gathers up his belongings and climbs down. Needing to empty his bladder, Thomas steps behind a bush. When he finishes, Troy is dropping down from the lowest limb of the tree and smoothly lands on his feet. "Morning," Troy says, walking behind a different bush to do the same thing that Thomas just did. Thomas finishes taking a drink of water from his pouch and nods in response. Looking down across the valley, Thomas sees numerous boats along the waterways. The early sun shines its light across the enormous valley lake, providing a much clearer view of his new surroundings. "Incredible," Thomas thinks to himself, gazing across the land. "We'll be there tonight," Troy says, before tearing a strip of dried meat with his teeth and walking away from the rising sun. Looking up to the open sky, Thomas takes a deep breath with a smile on his face and begins following after Troy. Trying to stay hidden along the tree line, they make their way along the base of the mountain. A road that is about a mile down into the valley has a few horse-drawn wagons riding along it, causing dust to rise into the air. Quickly, the wagons pass each other and continue in opposite directions. The dust rises higher into the air before starting to settle back down onto the ground. "We kept you hidden in our mountain for so long that when you re-emerged, you would be unrecognisable as the child you once were. Still, let's not be too hasty to show your face and that stubble growing on your chin," Troy says to Thomas with a friendly nudge to his shoulder. Walking along the foothills of the northern mountain, they come around a large tree-lined bend. As they come around to the other side, Thomas sees the land gently sloping to the west for as far as his eyes can see. Unsure of his vision, Thomas squints, wondering if he can see the ocean. "There it is, lad, the big water of your childhood," Troy says to Thomas as if reading his thoughts. Overcome with emotions, Thomas struggles to hold back tears. His eyes well up thinking about his former kingdom and his parents. Troy begins to slowly walk on, pretending as though he didn't see Thomas holding back his emotions. Thomas takes a few deep breaths, feeling grateful to be alive and well, and smiles at the horizon as he starts to walk behind Troy. After walking a good distance along the tree-lined foothills of the mountains, Thomas is startled by a huge bird taking flight from a nearby tree. "That is a big bird," Troy remarks, watching the predator fly through the air over the shimmering water. "Still not as big as the one you fought off when you were a wee lad," Troy adds, nudging Thomas on the shoulder playfully. Thomas's heart pounds as they continue walking. The sun is well into its descent into the late afternoon sky as they begin to head south toward the lake, away from the cover of the trees. Feeling too exposed in the wide open, Thomas pulls his hood up over his head. "Just be calm. Act as though you're meant to be here and no one will pay much attention to you," Troy says, trying to help relax the prince's visible worries. The grass stands tall all around them and dances in the late spring wind while Thomas and Troy make their way through the valley. Coming over a small hill, a large village comes into view about 5 miles away. "Hand across the river," Troy says with a controlled yet excited tone of voice. Thomas's stomach whirls as he thinks about all of the people that are down there. Both nervous and eager, Thomas begins the downhill walk to the village far below. The sun hangs low on the horizon and slowly falls behind the ocean. Tired from the long journey, Thomas trudges on for his chance to experience the world outside of his mountains. Troy stops and takes out his water pouch from his side pack. Feeling thirsty as well, Thomas gets his pouch out and drinks. "Trouble waits for us in these villages and cities. You need to be wary of people offering you anything. Be friendly, but trust no one," Troy says. "I will let you conduct all of our interactions," Thomas replies. The sky is lit by twilight as the incredible sunset fades away, leaving the land dark and strange. Boats navigate the lake, and wagons busily bounce along the roads while Thomas and Troy stay deeper into the tall grass, making their way to the village. People pass along the road more and more frequently, the closer they get to hand across the river. Finally, they reach the lake and walk along the shoreline. A father and son stand out on some rocks in the lake and cast their lines out from willow branches, hoping to hook a fish. Troy and Thomas crouch through the tall grass, passing by the two fishers without being detected. Away from the two strangers, Thomas and Troy resume a more relaxed style of walking. "We'll camp outside of the city tonight and enter in the morning," Troy says as they continue walking along the shore of the lake. With the sun completely vanquished from the sky, the lake is pitch black, waiting for the moon to rise. Finally, the lake turns into a river, and the trees are growing more densely around them. Relieved to be under the cover of the thicket, Thomas's nerves relax exponentially. "The village is just a little farther down the river. We will sleep here for the night," Troy declares as he climbs up a tree. Thomas chooses the tree next to the one that Troy chose, and climbs high enough to be hidden. Taking out his rope, he secures himself to the tree. If he wasn't utterly exhausted, Thomas would be too excited to sleep. "You belong, son," Thomas's father's words repeat in his thoughts. With a few minutes of deep breathing, Thomas's eyes grow heavy and he fades to sleep. "Wake up," Thomas hears Troy's voice as he is nudged from his sleep. Thomas's eyes widen, and he takes a quick breath before untying himself in an excited hurry. The sun has yet to rise in the eastern sky as dawn's light permeates through the valley. "We need to be in the village before the sun rises," Troy informs Thomas. The prince nods as he finishes packing his rope away. Climbing down to the lowest limb, Troy inspects the area before leaping to the ground below. Checking for any signs of activity, Thomas takes a quick look around before jumping to the valley floor. Landing skillfully, Thomas rolls when he lands, spreading the impact over a larger portion of his body. The river narrows a bit as they round a bend and the city comes into view. "This place has grown since I was here last," Troy mutters to himself. Thomas begins to grow very nervous as the tall buildings and towers that stand high in the sky become visible. A monstrous and elaborate bridge over the river connects the two halves of the city. "I used to live in a castle, and now I'm nervous about being around a village," Thomas thinks to himself as they continue walking. Chickens, ducks, pigs, sheep, and many more farm animals that Thomas hasn't seen in a lifetime roam in pens along the path leading into the city centre. Little houses begin popping out between trees as they pass through. A little old lady is sweeping her doorway as Thomas passes, and looks up to see who is walking past her house. When she makes eye contact with Thomas, she scoffs, shaking her head, and returns to her sweeping, muttering to herself under her breath. Putting his head down, Thomas walks silently next to Troy. The streets are empty as the sun barely peaks above the eastern horizon. Quickly rising, its rays illuminate and warm Thomas, bringing him comfort. As they get closer to the centre of town, more and more people are out on the roads. Shops and stores start opening their doors, and the business day begins. Troy spots a food merchant and heads toward him. "Good morning," Troy says in a friendly tone of voice.
"Good morning to you. What can I do for you?" the food vendor asks.
"We'll each have 2 eggs and a slice of honey bread," Troy replies, reaching into his coat pocket.
"That'll be 3 silver coins, the food man tells Troy.
Taking out a gold coin, Troy hands it to the merchant. The man takes it and hands 2 silver coins back.
"Keep the change," Troy says, refusing the coins from the man. "Thank you, kind sir," the man says with a smile, handing Troy the food that he purchased.
Thomas takes his portion from Troy and eagerly eats the eggs first. Chewing his food, Thomas looks at Troy and gives him a satisfied look, happy about the food. Finished with the eggs, Thomas takes a bite of the bread with honey on it, and is floored by how delicious the butter and honey on the bread tastes to him. Most of what he eats on a regular basis is quite bland, so this breakfast is extraordinarily delicious. The two men stand by a lone tree as they finish eating. "Let's continue," Troy says, and begins walking farther into the city. After walking down a few streets and making a few turns, they come to a bridge. It towers into the air, with breathtaking carvings throughout. There is a divide along the platform between foot traffic and horse and wagon traffic. Thomas stares in awe at the excruciating detail of the marvellous structure. People on foot, as well as horses and wagons, busily pass by from both directions. Looking across the bridge to the other side of the city, Thomas notices that the buildings look worn down and the streets look dirty. Boat docks line the opposite side of the riverbank. Workers of various trades perform their tasks. On one particular boat dock, 2 men are arguing and shouting. Suddenly, one of the men takes out a dagger and stabs the other man in the stomach. Thomas is horrified by this and instantly tries to go into vanish mode before Troy says, "Be calm." Thomas takes a deep breath, trying to calm himself down after what he had just witnessed. The man that was stabbed lay motionless on the ground as the man with the dagger is chased by 3 other men into the city and out of Thomas's view. Troy begins walking onto the bridge, and Thomas quickly follows behind with his head down, trying not to be noticed by anyone. The bridge is sturdy beneath them and does not sway or creak at all, even with all of the people and horses constantly crossing it. Thomas looks up and sees a large number of horses and wagons enter the bridge from the other side. Feeling uneasy, he continues walking behind Troy. When the caravan crosses paths with them, Thomas looks up and makes eye contact with a man, and a shudder goes down his spine. The man gives a sideways glare to Thomas, as if he recognises the prince. Thomas quickly looks back down and continues walking. Finally, off the bridge, Thomas feels less crowded and trapped and begins to feel more relaxed, even though this side of the river is much more run down and dangerous looking. Still shook up from the violent altercation that he had just observed, Thomas warily keeps his eyes and attention on his surroundings. Finally, they come to a building with a sign that reads, "Blacksmith." "Just as I remember it," Troy says, walking into the shop. Thomas enters in after him and stops dead in his tracks in the doorway.
"How can I help you?"
asks the blacksmith as Troy walks up to him. Pale-faced, Thomas sputters at the sight of the man, trying to catch his breath and find the right words to speak. The blacksmith and Troy both turn to Thomas with concerned looks on their faces, to see what is wrong with him. Thomas finally musters up the strength to speak and shouts,
"Ransom!"